Morning Angels podcast with Stan Szymanski. I'm your host, Stan Szymanski. Today is Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2024, and I have an interesting on-the-road show for you today. Neither Encouraging Angels nor Stan Szymanski nor anyone affiliated with Encouraging Angels is offering any type of advice in this program. We do not offer financial advice. We do not offer legal advice. We do not offer medical advice. We do not offer personal advice of any kind. Please consult a professional in the area of your need or interest, and everything presented here is for informational purposes only. If I'm talking too loud, it's because I'm in the car. I had to take one earphone out. I am doing a show on the road because I am heading into the big city from a remote location to actually buy a little food. Yes'm. And today, I want to cover the five core things that we really need to handle to button down, to be able to handle the shizzle storm that's coming right at all of us. Now, folks, you know, Jack Lawson and I have written a couple of very interesting articles whose overarching title is Wargaming the American Apocalypse. Again, just to depart for a second, I apologize for the road noise driving my little hoopty, you know, downtown. But I think you're going to get the gist of what I'm saying today, so I hope you enjoy it. Anyway, our articles were... Oh, the overarching title is Wargaming the American Apocalypse. The first article was about first identifying, excuse me, the allergies are really bad here right now. I cut grass 2 days ago and I was wiped out yesterday. That's why I didn't do a show. I think it was the pollen and everything else was just massive. And cutting the grass just put everything up in the air, which was the first decent grass cut of the year. So first identifying that there is an emergency. If you are listening to this program and you do not believe that there are multiple ongoing emergencies in the United States of America right now, I think that you need to evaluate yourself for something called normalcy bias. You know, that's basically a condition where you think everything's normal, everything's going, you know, has gone like it has before, and it will go that way in the future. And I'm here to debate that with you and to say, oh, hell no. No. Things are not going to go the way that they have in the past. Our future is going to be quite, quite, quite different, unfortunately. But that is the fault of, you know, in some degree, every one of us. And mostly we have been, you know, taken over by traitors, in my humble opinion. I mean, when you have virtually the whole Congress voting to spy on every American without a warrant, those are violations of our rights. You know, the Fourth Amendment talks about, you know, our right to privacy. But our elected representatives really have no interest in that. They want a police state. We are, just like I'm hurtling down the road right now, we are hurtling towards a police state. Things are going to get rough. We're going to see shortages. We're going to see austerity like we haven't seen in almost 100 years in this country. This is my humble opinion. Fortunately, I'm old enough, and my parents survived the Depression, and my dad survived, you know, fighting all across the Pacific in World War II, to tell me the stories of the Depression. You know, my mother telling me, you know, about the stories about tomato sandwiches and peach sandwiches, because that's what they had to eat. Right now, in a general sense, you still have choice, but it is evaporating. I can tell you, when I go to the store, the aisles are wider and the length of the shelves is shorter. And so there is less food in the store. The prices are going higher. I know that you know that much. And I'd be remiss to not just stop for a second and say, you know, I'm the CEO of a disability ministry known as Encouraging Angels. If you are listening to this and you have charge over people, in that you are a caregiver, whether it's your own son or daughter, or you work for an institution, you had better get on the ball. You had better make sure that you can last for at least a few months without outside help. That means having food, water, shelter, energy, and protection. So I told you I'm going into the big city. I don't have a lot of money to spend. Because I run a disability ministry. And B, when we lost our, you know, because lost our contract to deliver music and, you know, at special needs institutions. And we also lost our grant that we had successfully written for 15 years. Things became more austere for us. But we have adjusted. We're doing a lot more media ministry. I'm working on a record right now to get back into churches, God willing, because I can't go back to the institutions because they all still require the jab, which, of course, we now know is a bioweapon, which, according to the work of Ed Dowd, again, in his opinion, not mine, that there are 1.1 million excess deaths in America. Did you hear what I said? 1.1 million excess deaths in America. 3.5 million excess permanent disabilities. I run a disability ministry. There were enough disabled people before COVID started, in my humble opinion. And now we have another 3.5 million. 3.5 million excess permanent disabilities. And we had over, I think it was 28 million. Again, I'm driving in the car going by memory. 28 million severe adverse events. Folks, there's an emergency in this country. Folks, you know that there's a war going on that's escalating in the Middle East right now, of which our country is a part of. And all of the participants are nuclear powers. And in fact, you know, one of the stories that I read a couple days ago is that in Israel's response to Iran recently, is that they had launched an Israeli F-35, which is an airplane, loaded with a nuclear EMP. EMP stands for electromagnetic pulse. An electromagnetic pulse weapon wipes out all of the electronics over the area of which it is detonated. If so, you know, they have done Dr. Vincent Pry, who is now deceased, who headed the EMP task force, I believe was the name of it, said that roughly, and I'm paraphrasing, is that, and I'm trying to get on the highway here, said that if an EMP were successfully detonated over America, that in 1 year, 90% of the population would expire before the end of that year because of the dependency on electricity. So, when Israel launched this, allegedly, launched this F-35, they were going to go to Iran and detonate an EMP over Iran. And the Russians shot down the F-35. Who makes the F-35? America, of course. And even though that's our latest generation fighter, it is fraught with problems. And the mainstream media does not give the Russian military the respect that it should have. And I'm not a Russophile, I'm not a Putin apologist or anything. I'm just looking at things with an honest eye, and to bring this to you. Folks, you know, Russia has said, now they just did that, they said that if troops come into the Ukraine, like NATO, and we have all of our representatives voting Ukraine much more money. Ukraine is lost, my friends. Ukraine is lost. It was always a proxy war. Always a proxy war of the United States against Russia, of which the United States has now lost. But these representatives, you know, in my humble opinion, they have to be grifting off of this because it doesn't make any sense. You know, the Ukraine has gotten its ass kicked. In my humble, humble, humble opinion. And as soon as, like, more troops come in, because they don't have enough people to fight, because 500,000 Ukrainians are dead in this war. 10 million Ukrainians have evacuated the country and now live as refugees. That's the United States for you, in my humble opinion. But once this thing is on the edge of going nuclear, because the Russians have said that, I want to say two things about this, that they said outright that they do not have the ground forces to go against NATO. But they most certainly have the hypersonic missiles, which are the delivery systems for nuclear weapons. And the United States does not have hypersonic missiles. The United States is developing hypersonic missiles, but, you know, the Russians, the Chinese, the Indians, the Iranians, all have hypersonic weapons. Those are missiles that cannot be stopped by conventional means. If Russia has said that if troops come into the Ukraine, like from the US and from NATO, that they're going to respond, in a nuclear manner. They're going to put a stop to it. And folks, the reason I have gone through that explanation, and by the way, the Ukrainian war did not start in 2022 when Russia started its special military action. It started in 2014 when the United States overthrew a duly elected government in the Ukraine, thanks very much to Victoria Nuland. You can look it up. I've written whole stories on it. I've done podcasts. Started up the Ukrainian military. Took it to the the eastern part of the Ukraine and ethnically cleansed 15,000 Russian-speaking people. And then they sat down at the Minsk Agreement in 2015, and that was France, Russia, Germany, and the Ukraine, and said in the agreement that they would give the Russian-speaking peoples of the Donetsk and Luhansk in the eastern part of Ukraine voting rights and stop bombing them and all that. But in 2022, Angela Merkel came out and said the Minsk Agreement was just a ruse. It was just an opportunity to buy more time to build an army to go against Russia. Now, I mean, Russia doesn't have army bases all over the world. You know, United States has over 200 army bases, you know, around the world. You know, how dare those countries build their countries around our military bases? So much probably bad biblical being the United States, so much armament to the Ukraine that's been destroyed that it does not have really have the armament to fight a war. Not for long. I mean, I heard Clay Martin yesterday. Go check out Clay Martin's interview on Coffee and a Mic. I watched it on Rumble. I'm sure it's on YouTube too. But Coffee and a Mic, what a good show with Clay Martin. It's probably a week old. And Clay Martin, who's author, who was a recon Marine and Special Forces in the Army, and you know, was discharged medically after 15 years of service. For kicking A all over the world. You know, I said that they're going to have to do a draft. They do not have the people. This is really, really getting messy, folks. And the not like it was during World War II. But, you know, The Russians are out-manufacturing the West, by something like 15 to 1. Last time I saw something on that, I'm preparing to sit in large volumes of traffic. What does that mean? What does all this mean for you? Well, first thing it means for me is coffee. And folks, I mean, one of the things I bought yesterday was just an extra nice big 40-ounce bag of whole coffee beans. Oh, the right lane's closed. Okay. And, you know, when things get tough, if you drink coffee, where are you going to get coffee in the United States? I mean, it comes from South America, pretty much. I don't even think they can grow coffee in Florida or, you know, Louisiana or what have you. And the price going up, up, up. Like cocoa. Cocoa went from, I think, $2,000 a ton to $10,000 a ton. And of course, that's more than what individuals buy. But cost heading the same way. You know, gone from like $5-6 to $10. So now you need to be, just because I'm food right now, you need to be able to eat. How much food do you need? Have you considered that? Independent. If you go to Bear Independent, you can find that video on YouTube. Bear, B-E-A-R, Independent. You can find the video on that. It's probably 7-8 years old at least. The military's done a study. It takes to keep one fighting age man in the field who's doing the things about 750 pounds of food a year. 750 pounds of food a year to keep him in the field fighting. That means basically 2 pounds a day. You know, that's you're expending 3,200 calories a day because you're doing a whole lot of other things. So, you know, if there is some event, whether, and, you know, we have, you know, literally tens of millions of invaders in this country. I don't care what they call them. I mean, they did not come through Ellis Island like the Polish did, like the Irish did, and I'm only speaking of ourselves, or even on, you know, God help us all in America and, you know, for the way that the folks from the community came over, you know, in ships from Africa. The folks here now are coming with different intentions, and they're being funded. They're being given EBT cards. They're being given debit cards with up to $10,000 on them. They're given places to live. They are people, for instance, some coming from China and immediately getting a gun in their hands and going to a range and, you know, practicing firearms. What does that tell you? Again, this is my humble opinion from my, you know, my own research, reading, etc. But you can look all this up for yourself. You do not need to trust me. You need to investigate, like the Bereans did when Paul gave them the gospel, and they were considered, you know, kind of more worthy, more righteous, because they investigated Paul's claims and found it to be true. And so that's what you should do with what I'm sharing with you today. Some of you can't even believe what I'm saying right now. Like the need to have, you know, copious amounts of food. Because you are going to be shocked when everything comes to a standstill. I mean, I was traveling down the road here, and I'm not normally on the highway in the morning anymore. You know, and the traffic came to a standstill for 5 minutes. What are you going to do when the elephant, you know, and there's all kind of things that could happen. Oh, shit. And it, whether that is, the electricity going out, like we had a hack on the grid. Whether that is an EMP, which is an actual attack, you know, from a country. Whether something set off, you know, an invasion. Man, this is some of the things you see on the highway. You don't know what's going to happen, but things are, you know, again, when we see, you know, there's so many things going on. For instance, like we talked about the war and the inability of America to really field an army that's well equipped. I mean, the only, from what I understand, the only military munitions plant in America was in Scranton, and that went up in flames in an explosion last week. Hello? I mean, what does that mean? We've seen over the past 3 years attacks on over 100, you know, food processing plants. You know, we've previously seen attacks on the power grid by just, you know, a couple guys who they didn't catch using a rifle to shoot a transformer and knock down the grid, you know, locally. There's a lot more. Again, I'm on the road. I'm not researching while I'm talking or anything. But there's all kinds of things. I mean, you know, I have previously written, actually, in the article that went up on Saturday, this past Saturday, Wargaming the American Apocalypse, positively identifying the enemy. You know, I mentioned in my question to Jack, EA blog, and find the Wargaming the American Apocalypse article. Again, Wargaming the American Apocalypse, positively identifying the enemy, that Xi Hao Shen, former you know, head of security for, you know, China, said that when they looked at the Third Reich, they said that the Nazis were too soft. And they said that they need America. The only farmland that will suit them is in America, Canada, and Australia. And so those are their targets. And they have said, he came right out and said, and I have a link to the speech, that they will not cohabitate with the Americans. So they're not coming here and trying to say, hey, we'll work something out. No. This is apparently a genocidal, you know, promise that he's made, that which is back, goes back to 2005. So folks, if they're coming here for the food, you know, in the Bible it talks about, you know, that there's going to be famine, that they're all, and it's, of course, that's a regular part. If you read through your Bible, famine is not rare. And we're used to food anytime we want it here in America. But you need to start with like bulk, with like rice and beans. If you don't know how to do it, go on YouTube about getting a food grade bucket, which you can buy them like at Lowe's. You're going to pay, like for the bucket and a lid, you're going to pay like 11, 12 bucks. If you go to Uline, you can get them cheaper, probably about $8 for the bucket and the lid. Again, food grade. Not a regular Homer bucket. And you get a Mylar bags to hold, you know, the food. The rice, the beans, the barley, the wheat, whatever it is. And you literally toss in a couple oxygen absorbers that you can buy at the same place that you buy your Mylar bag at to put in the bucket. And then you just take the top, and some people use something like a curling iron. You can use, what probably works better is like a 2x4 and an old, and I emphasize old iron, that you're not using for your clothes. And you literally iron it shut, and the oxygen absorbers take out all the air and draw the bag in and make it airtight. And then you have, you know, 20, 30 year shelf life food at that point. In my humble opinion, you're probably going to be using and eating that food before 20 or 30 years. That's just my humble opinion. You know, you can still get your canned goods. You know, I have seen the reports of like shortages of tin and so forth. There's not always going to be canned goods. And so the other thing is learning how to can, which I don't know how to do yet. But I do have some cans, or, you know, some jars and the lids. And we have some friends that know how to do it. So we're going to get together with them and do that. You know, get with some of these butchers, especially when you start kind of get away from the city. I don't know what else is going on in the city because I'm not living there anymore. But we have found a couple of places to, you know, able to buy chicken. Heck, legs for, I mean, like 60 cents a pound, chicken breasts for $2 a pound. You know, if you're buying 20 pounds or 40 pounds and you take them and you know, you can put them in a freezer. That's protein. You know, you've got to have protein. I mean, you can live on rice. There is some protein in it, but not an overwhelming amount. But you need to be able to hold on to muscle when you start working outside all the time, because guess what? You're going to have to plant food. And we talk about food, you better get seeds. I should say get what you can, but heirloom or better, because when you harvest the seeds at the end of the season, they'll come back and be what they were, what you expect them to be, as opposed to a hybrid, which you have no idea what it's going to be. Yeah, start with your bulk food. You can go and buy all the canned goods you want, and that's great. Super great, really. Get what you can. Start out trying to get, you know, 2 weeks of food put up. Then go for a month. Then go for 3 months. 6, and then do a year, and then go out from there. Because this thing is... I mean, Clay Martin talked about this thing going on for 20 years. Which is why he talked about people living in, he called it warrior villages, where you're going to be, you know, you have to have, you know, 20 or 30 people, you know, kind of in your group, at your residence, whatever it is, to be able to do stuff like plant food, pull security, you know, and do all the things. I know this is shocking a lot of people if you haven't heard this information before. Again, go listen to that interview, Clay Martin on Coffee and a Mic. Coffee and a Mic. Yeah, Clay Martin's the real deal. You know, I'm just a guy running a disability ministry, trying to help especially the caregivers who are taking care of special needs and disabled folks. Which, unfortunately, now there are too many. Too many. But we still love you. I'm not used to all this traffic. I'm here getting closer to the city. And, folks, I would advise, if, you know, for you to consider, I'm not giving anybody personal advice. If you live in a big city, if you can make some plans, if you've got a country cousin to saying, hey, if things start getting squirrely, which they're going to, in my humble opinion, can we, you know, come out to your place? You know, you got an Aunt Millie, an Aunt Bertha, whatever. You know, if... there's going to be more of you. You might need to do something like put a shed on her property. So at least you can start putting food out there. And because wherever you go, I mean, you better have, you know, your food there. Talking about food. But being in the city with high population density and all of a sudden there's huge problems with supply chains, you have a major problem. Especially with security and staying alive. So think about that. I know people got to make a living, like your job might be in the city, or, you know, you bought your house, you've lived in the city your whole life, like we did for quite a long time. And it's hard to leave what you know. It's taken me a while to just acclimate to the country.
So anyway, I would think about that. So food, food, food. Now, more importantly, is water. Because in 3 days without water, you are gone, expired. You know, your picture's on the milk carton, and you will never be found again. Unfortunately, that's the way it is without water. So start off, because you need to be able to collect water, store water, and purify water. You know, if you're in a more urban environment, I mean, you can get a bladder that fits in your tub that as soon as you think things are going sideways, with whatever's water is left in the pipes and in an expansion tank and what have you, you know, you can throw that bladder in the tub, hook it to your spigot, and, you know, fill that up, and you've got probably, you know, 35 to 50 gallons of water, you know, sitting in your tub, which will buy you time. You know, the other thing, even if you're in suburbia, which, you know, again, country's better, but you might be where you are, is to have some type of rain catchment, like off of a roof into a rain barrel. You know, you can buy a rain barrel like I was at Sam's Club yesterday. They have rain barrels for $130 where we are. And it already has the spigots on it. It has a grate on the top to help filter out debris, you know, from coming off the roof. And then you can collect water at least that way. And, you know, of course, then you'll have to filter it for use for drinking or cooking or whatever. And storage. So the rain barrel does that, but you can have other barrels like, there's barrels, if you look on Craigslist, getting rain barrels, getting olive barrels. Like there's these, we got it from an Italian restaurant, olive, 55-gallon olive barrels that are food grade. And you take them, we took them to the car wash and washed them out. We're going to wash them out again with some, probably some alcohol, just to be sure. And I've had them sitting for a while, so washing them again will probably be a good idea. But you really need to have a way to collect water. If nothing else, of course, you take the pots and pans you have and fill them up. But you need to think about this. Because if you don't think about this and you've got people under your care, you failed them. Unfortunately. Yeah, you failed them without that. Bear with me here, getting close to the city, too much stuff to consider. And the roads get busy. But things are, there's rumors of, I was just thinking about COVID, about how ghost-like the city was, how ghost-like everything was due to the, quote, pandemic that wasn't, you know, and they're getting ready, and, you know, folks, hey, let me say this too, and this is not a political show in any way, shape, or means. Pardon me. But the United States is going to be voting on a treaty, or even if they don't vote, I mean, they'll try to fake it and have, you know, Uncle Joe sign it into law, which is no law at all. To turn over the sovereignty of the United States to the WHO, the World Health Organization, which is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I'm not being political. I don't care, you know, what side you're on, which side of the aisle. And, you know, there is no document. Let me just say this as an American. There is no form of government higher or better than what is established in the document known as the Constitution of the United States and its articles. You know, it's right, the Bill of Rights and the amendments. Because if you need to change something, you can just write yourself an amendment and get it approved the way the other amendments were approved. There's two dangers right now. Is that A, giving up our sovereignty, you know, to a place like the WHO. And the other is, what you're even hearing from, you know, I don't know, people who seem like they have sense, is a con, is a constitutional convention. People don't know, but, you know, when the country was first formed after 1776, the country was run basically on the Articles of Confederation. But in 1789, the Constitution was ratified. And that was the first con, the first constitutional convention. And they took the Articles of Confederation and threw them out. They took the Articles of Confederation and threw them out. That's the danger of a con. Because if there is a constitutional convention, they literally can throw out the Constitution, throw out the First Amendment so that you live with no ability for free speech, throw out the Second Amendment so you have no ability to protect yourself, throw out the Fourth Amendment so you have no rights to privacy, and on and on. No, the Constitution cannot be beat. The Constitution and its amendments cannot be beat. If somebody wants to change something, they can fight for an amendment. But to go and try to, you know, do not let your representatives take the United States into a constitutional convention, because that will be the undoing of the country, because they literally can throw out the whole thing. And, I mean, the UN has another constitution written, apparently, allegedly, waiting in the wings if this were to happen. Folks, we face many emergencies. So this kind of thing, again, this is why you need food, water, shelter, energy, and protection. How's your house? I mean, do you lock your doors at night? Do you have security for your windows? Would you consider getting a dog if you don't have one? I mean, a dog is a super great force multiplier, because that dog will let you know, in most cases, let you know when something's afoot, when somebody is coming into your area of operation. You know, and might give you some self-defense as well. Again, do you have an option to be out in the country? But you need to have a roof over your head. We'll talk about security in a minute, because that's really just talking about that. Again, you might need a secondary place, you know. You might have a shed on Aunt Millie's farm, you know, already with, you know, you've got some clothes and you have some food and you have water filtration and a way to store it. We are approaching that time, ladies and gentlemen, in my humble opinion. What about energy? You know, if Dr. Vincent Pry stated, who, while he was alive, was the foremost authority on EMP, if an EMP were to be detonated over America successfully, that 90% of the population would be dead in a year. Don't you think it's worthy of your consideration for some energy? And I want to say, with all these things, I mean, we have no relationships, because we're a nonprofit. We're not selling anything. I'm not telling you to get this solar generator or buy this stored food or anything. We are doing this for your benefit. We hope that you find value and you would support Encouraging Angels. And I know money's tight, but you would please consider that. Go to our donate page, www.encouragingangels.org, and click on the donate tab. Give online with your card right there, or send something to the P.O. box. But folks, consider energy. You should have a whole bunch of batteries. You should have a bunch of rechargeable batteries and at least a small solar panel to recharge that battery pack. So, you know, if you've got you can have batteries, you know, for quite a long time for your flashlights and radios, etc. But a more substantial consideration is a solar generator, because you can have a gas generator, that's great, gas or propane, but it's only going to last as long as you have gas. How much gas you got? Even if you have 50 gallons, how long is that going to last? There's no way you can run a household and like you do during the days while the grid is up. It's ridiculous. But you need to consider, what you're going to do. One of the things is having a solar generator. And you don't have to have a big one to handle things like, you know, charging your phone, having lights, and so forth. I mean, you could have a system for probably and on the low end of things. I could actually do it if I buy refurbished, and I encourage you to look at like companies like EcoFlow and Blue Eti, BLUETTI, and EcoFlow, ECOFLOW, and go onto their websites and find the refurbished pages, because both of them have them. Like their bottom model, which is really small, like on EcoFlow, I mean, I saw it for like refurbished, like $119. I mean, come on. You could even put that on a plan for $20 a month or something. But that plus a small solar panel. Now you got to mind your connections. There's Anderson connections, and then EcoFlow has something that's a little different. You need to look at these things, because having light when there is no light, man, that is a game changer. A game changer. But more seriously, if you have any medical needs, like a CPAP machine, like an oxygen concentrator, you're going to need something more substantial. You know, you're going to need to be spending $800 or $1,000 or whatever. I don't know. I'm not giving anyone any recommendations. Consult your medical manufacturer of your device and consult the solar manufacturer to see if it works for you. Again, I'm not giving specifics. I'm not giving advice to anybody regarding this matter. But that way, two things. You don't have to worry about fuel as long as you have at least some sun. And B, you have more security. If you were considering running a gas generator, do you know how loud that is? And when you're running a gas generator, once everybody else's gas runs out, and they say, oh, you have gas. Where are they coming? They're coming to your place. You are going to have to deal with security considerations in that manner. It's a lot to think about, but that's what this show is for. So energy and protection. Protection number one is being where a whole lot of people are not. That's what I'm saying about being in a big city like I'm driving into right now. Man, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea without a plan. You know, in these cities, if there's an event like a 9/11 or something, from what I understand, and in my humble opinion, really, girl? I mean, I got this girl bearing down on me. It's because she's in a Tesla. I'm driving an old hoopty. I don't want to say what I'm more apt to do. But anyway, I'm trying to be nice, trying to be Christian as I drive into the city. It's becoming more difficult. is being where everybody else isn't, is security. Do you want to have to fight off one person a month or one person an hour? That's kind of what you'll be faced with, I think, in my humble opinion. You know, the sheriff, I did a story, it's probably 4 to 6 weeks old. Sheriff Jones of Butler County in Ohio, not Pennsylvania, Butler County in Ohio. Is training civilians on the use of firearms. And especially if you're disabled and you can do it, man, I would really suggest that. But, you know, everybody has to make up their own mind about how, you know, they handle security and protection. But, you know, perhaps your sheriff, wherever you live, would be as gracious as he is. And he is sounding the bell. He has said that Christopher Wray, the FBI director, you know, gathered all the sheriffs together and told them that there are more red flags, more flashing lights now than there were at 9/11. So, folks, this ain't coming from me. This is coming from, you know, an excellent sheriff, Sheriff Jones, and your FBI director, Christopher Wray. Do you think it would be prudent to have preparations in hand if there's some disruption to services and life as we know it? Folks, I think you really need to consider this. Food, water, shelter, energy, and protection. You know, also being with a group of people is smart, and it's not easy. But those are the things, you know, we just covered those today. These are the things, if you don't have, you know, most of these things in hand, it's like, what are you doing? Are you right now, are you planning a vacation? Are you planning a vacation or are you planning to survive what's coming? That I ask you because, I mean, I'm thinking about somebody right now who just can't live without that vacation and has made no provision for themselves. You know, if you think that you're going on vacations and then something happens and you're going to go to your friend's, you know, house when all the poop hits the fan, you're going to find real quick that the door is going to be closed. Because when there ain't no more food and there ain't no more energy and there ain't no more of a whole lot of other things, unless you got mad skills like you're a doctor or, I don't know, a welder, a farmer, you are up, you know, that like the title of the TV series from the two folks, what, Eugene Levy and Madeline, is it O'Hara? Really funny. That started off on Second City. But Schitt's Creek, you're up Schitt's Creek. And that's not a good place to be. Plus, you're probably not as funny as they are. Yeah, folks. Man, I'm here in the city now as we've been doing the podcast, and I cringe when I think about when I'm sitting in traffic and things are, the mainstream media is doing everything it can to convince you that things are normal, but things are anything but normal. They are abnormal. Abnormal is the new normal. And things like austerity and war will soon become commonplace. I ask you to consider what we talked about today. I hope you share this, because once the live stream is done, it takes a little while. I don't know if it takes a half an hour, maybe less, for it to get up, you know, on to Podbean. But I hope you enjoyed, or at least appreciated, what I shared today. I hope that you are right with God. I hope that you have a relationship with our Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to save you and to save me from my sin, from your sin. Jesus Christ came to this earth fully God and fully man. He lived the perfect life because no one else could. And the importance of that is He fulfilled the law. And in fulfilling the law, He became the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice acceptable to God the Father for the payment of the sins of the world, for your sins and for my sins. And His shed blood on Calvary is what cleanses us from our unrighteousness, the only thing. And He rose again to give us eternal life. But you must make a decision as to whether Jesus is your Lord. In other words, He's the one who has the preeminence. He is the one who is on the throne of your life. Is Jesus on the throne of your life, or are you on the throne of your life? Because if it's you, then you will answer for everything you've done. As opposed to when God sees you, then He sees Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to accept Him as, again, Lord. And, well, it's hard to preach the gospel when you got people like drunk in a stupor holding up signs for money, high as a kite. That's the city, though. That girl's out there selling, I tell you that. There's another guy, he's just standing in awe. Standing in awe of her sales ability. But you need Jesus, folks. All of us need Jesus. In a second, in a nuclear event, lives are gone. Even if you're not in the city that gets vaporized, God help us if that happens. It'll change life forever. Life will never be the same. No trucks will run on the road. No more gasoline. I mean, where you are is where you're going to be, unless you get on foot, and hopefully you're not dealing with fallout. Get right with God right now. You know, and once you become saved, once you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's what we mean when we say you got saved. You have to, you can't just then go out and keep sinning. You can't go out, you know, in drunkenness and getting high and many of the other things that people do, whether it's lasciviousness or infidelity or what have you. You must abide in Christ. You must abide in His commands. Excuse me. And all of us will fall short. We must keep our account short with God. We must repent. The other thing I failed to mention, which I'm going to mention now, is you must repent of your sins when you ask Jesus Christ into your Lord, into your heart. You must repent of your sins. So that He can forgive you. God help us. Nobody's even preaching the gospel. Almost literally, no one's preaching the gospel anymore. They're preaching your best life now. They're preaching rainbow this and rainbow that. And read your Bible. If you're listening to this online, you've got an internet connection. You can go to BibleGateway.com and type in John 1, John space 1, and you'll come to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You must get to know Jesus Christ because He is the Word of God. That's how you get to know Him. Because if you do not know the owner of the house, He ain't going to let you in. It's that simple. And Jesus owns the most precious house that was ever built. And that's the one that He is preparing for those who love and trust Him. So, this has been the Encouraging Angels podcast. This is Stan Szymanski, and I look forward to seeing you right here next time.